Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Tracy McClure. The United States Embassy to the Holy See will sponsor the second in a series of town hall conversations on migration Thursday, May 24th. Guest speakers at the event entitled Building Bridges of Opportunity, Women and Migration include the President of the Pontifical Council for Migrants and Itinerants, Cardinal Antonio Maria Velho, who is expected to talk about forced migration and violence against women. Officials from the Church's umbrella aid and development agency, Caritas Internationalis, will also participate, speaking about their work in the field. Farah Pandit, the U.S. Special Representative to Muslim Communities and the child of Indian migrants, will also contribute to Thursday's discussions. I asked her to give me an idea of what her talk will be focusing on.
I think this is a really important conference that is being put together, and I need to applaud our embassy here for putting it together, because Ambassador Diaz has a vision that is very important. We have to think about the issues that are hitting different parts of the world at this moment in time, one of which is, of course, the status and the role of women who happen to be immigrants, and what takes place in those communities and within those families is important not just for the on a micro level, but it has an impact on the macro level. So the things that I will be speaking about will be the trends that I've seen with immigrant communities and the immigration patterns and the impact that they have around the world, and the role of women who are minorities and how they're raising their children. Because as we know, when we think about the fact that Secretary Clinton has made girls and women a priority in this administration, it is embedded in everything that we have done in terms of foreign policy. This is one component of it. So I'll be hitting those themes, and I'll be talking about the importance of looking at the young generation of migrants that come into communities and the role that they're going to play.
Okay, you're the special representative to the Muslim community. So what does that got to do with migration? You yourself are come from a migrant family coming from India to the United States. I'm a migrant to Italy. My husband is also a migrant to Italy. What are some of the issues that affected you personally as a woman, as a migrant?
Well, growing up in the United States, I grew up on the East Coast of the United States in Massachusetts, and I grew up outside of Boston. But I came to America as a baby, and I was very privileged to have a chance to grow up in a community that was embedded with a very American philosophy and narrative. America is a place in which everybody came from somewhere else. Most people can talk about the journeys that their grandparents or great-grandparents or parents made to the United States. And whether you are an immigrant that came from an Ireland or an Italy, for example, or you're an immigrant that came from a Somalia or a Turkey, we all understand in America that America is your home. And being American is about what's in the Constitution and the values that we have going forward. So when I grew up in the United States, it was important when I was being raised by my mother that she was able to balance the importance and the privilege of growing up in the United States, the freedoms and the benefits afforded to us by the U.S. Constitution, as well as being proud of our heritage. And you can do both. You can be both a very proud American and also be someone who is proud of their heritage, whether it's religious or ethnic.
Okay, you are American and you are Muslim. Does one come first?
It isn't about what comes first. Every individual embodies their own identity in different ways. But what is really central to the journey of I think, any immigrant in any particular culture is understanding the values that you have, that they match up with an expression that makes sense for the community that you're in. The American Constitution provides equal rights for all. Freedom of religion, freedom of faith, freedom of expression are central components to being American. And so whether you are a Christian or you are a Jew or a Muslim or a Hindu or an atheist in America, you have equal rights under the law. So for me growing up, I understood who I was. I understood my own identity. I never had a question of whether or not I had to be more loyal to one thing or another. I was very proud to be American. I was very proud to be born in India. I was very proud to be a Muslim. You can be all of these things at the same time.
But how do you dialogue with people who don't agree with you, who say, you know, I'm Muslim, it's not just a part of my faith, but it's also a social and political responsibility? How do you dialogue with people like that who say, I'm a Muslim first, I'm not an American first?
Well, it's not, you know, I think what we all tend to do is get caught up in these sound bites of what's most important and where do you place yourself and where are you along the line of hierarchy. Actions speak louder than words, and the way in which you must behave as a citizen on the planet and in a community is central to the way you are perceived and the way in which you respond to your life. So being an active participant in society, giving mutual respect to each other, caring about issues of communal health or poverty or how clean your streets are or how well paved your roads are. Those are things that any citizen in any community cares about. And engaging in your community and not isolating yourself from your community is also very, very important to think about as we think about the development of immigrant communities going forward.
You said you were going to be addressing some of the challenges, some of the issues facing particularly women in the U.S., I would imagine. What are you going to be talking about in terms of how to resolve some of the problems facing this growing phenomenon around the world?
Well, so I'll be looking at more outside of the United States than in it, but the themes of women's empowerment and how you can, how we must think about the fact that as women are raising their children and how they're thinking about themselves as being part of communities, the things that we can do to partner with them, to give them that space to be able to blossom. It is very important that we understand that their needs, they're raising the next generation.
Okay, but also there's a serious problem with the fact that women and children are the biggest victims, for example, of human trafficking, of human slavery, which also leads to the sex trade. How does your office actually deal or try to respond to those kinds of problems?
So I have a very specific mandate as special representative to Muslim communities, and I've sort of outlined that for you in terms of listening to what young people have to say and building initiatives around the world, connecting voices, building those networks of like-minded thinkers, and finding ways to inject into the global conversation more alternative narratives about what it means to be Muslim, because I think it's important for us, the United States, to listen to these young voices, to engage with these young voices, to do what President Obama said we must do, which is to work on things of mutual interest together. So so we are building networks like Generation Change, which is, you know, chapters, 25 chapters by the end of 2012 of young people under the age of 30 who have never met before. They're building networks on Facebook of these change makers who are remarkable. Or finding ways to get young bloggers to learn from each other and to do leadership trainings and media training so that we are getting their voices out there. We're building platforms to actually be able to do this. Issues such as the one you just described are critical and important for our country, but it is other parts of the State Department that work on those issues specifically, not my office.
Okay. And do you cooperate at all with the Catholic Church or with Christian organizations as you do your job?
Well, I thank you very much for that question. And as we speak, we're sitting here at the Vatican, and I feel really honored to come back to the Vatican and take part in conversations. One of the reasons I am here is because I think it is a very important thing that that we do to increase coalition building. I think it is very important that there are messages that we all have together, no matter governments or different faiths, that we all have to work together on building mutual respect. And I'm here at the Vatican to do just that, to find ways that we can focus on young people together to work on issues of promoting mutual respect. There is a campaign that I launched with a colleague of mine. She is the envoy to combat and monitor anti-Semitism. Her name is Hannah Rosenthal. Hannah and I launched a campaign called 2012 Hours Against Hate. And if you go to Facebook, you find 2012 Hours Against Hate. And we're asking people to donate 1 hour or more of their time to walk in somebody else's shoes. So to do something for someone who doesn't look like you, pray like you, or live like you. So we've come here to the Vatican to talk to them about getting Christian youth engaged in this campaign. And we've gotten a very great, a good response. But more importantly, we have all understood that the message of pushing back against hatred is a central one of any human. We must do more to promote mutual respect. And the one of the ways in which you can do that is to build, to have different messengers go out there. You know, when you see the destruction of churches, it should not just be Christians that speak out against it. It should be others, Jews and Muslims and Hindus and others who can say this is unacceptable. When you see swastikas that are put on cemeteries, spray painted on buildings, again, it has to be the non-Jewish communities that speak out against it, and so on. This importance of building those bridges, no matter what your faith, no matter what your creed, no matter what your heritage, is really central. And I've had a very good response today here at the Vatican talking about the campaign. It is a partner with the 2012 Olympic Games in London. You will see more about this campaign in the weeks ahead, but I urge your listeners to go online, to go to Facebook, to learn more about the campaign, volunteer an hour or more of their time to do this, because we need to send a message to the world. It is about the next generation. It's about what kind of world they would like to live in.
You were mentioning about the destruction of churches and so on. Just recently, we heard about an imam in a Gulf state who was calling for the destruction of all the Christian churches in the region.
Well, look, I think what I've just said is really, I want to underscore, this isn't just about one faith group speaking about things that are happening within their faith group. It's about everybody on the planet paying attention to what's happening around them and to condemn actions when they happen. So if you see a destruction of a church, if you see a destruction of a mosque, if you see something bad happening to someone of one race or another, you must speak out. You must speak out about it. You must condemn it. We have more tools than ever before to tell a story, to explain what is taking place. Government plays a role, but it's also civil society that plays a role that has to be able to be responsible for what's happening around them. So this issue of coalition is really, really central. The issue of who the messenger is also very, very important. One of the things that I think is very key in terms of what you said is what's happening within, and I don't want to say one region or another, because the sad news of what I've seen around the world is that no matter where in the world I've been, people talk about incidents that have happened to different faith groups. Whether you're a minority or a majority, things are happening. There's an increase of intolerance around the world. And this is why we launched the campaign. This is why we decided to speak out and to do more. I believe when I talk to young people, hearing what kind of world they want to live in, they don't want to live with the legacies of their parents. I mean, I remember going to Sarajevo recently, having a conversation with young kids who said, we do not want to have the legacy of our parents on our back. We want to build a new world. The same sentiments were expressed when I was in Beirut, when I was talking to young kids who said, enough with the past and the heartache and the pain. We have to go forward. You cannot rectify the past. You cannot go backward. You can only go forward. So whether you're a young person in Sarajevo or you're a young person in Beirut or you're a young person in any other part of the world that can think about their future and the kind of world that you want to build, it's up to you to speak out about how you do things and to build relationships and bridges with other communities to work and walk forward together.
Farah Pandith is the U.S. Special Representative to Muslim Communities.